This is Pastor Jolly John Lukumsky filling in for the Right Reverend Will Wheaton on this day's issue of Thy Strong Word. I'm glad to be here filling in for Will, but I'm especially glad because of the guest. We have a good friend of mine that I've known for years, scared the heck out of me because it's getting time for the show to start, and Mark's not here. I don't know where he's at. Yeah. Although, Mark, would you? It is, again, the Reverend Mark Hawkinson, who you know and love, too. So, Mark, you want to explain to us why you were almost not here on time?
Well, I got here just a few minutes early, and I took my Bible out to the picnic table and just was going to review Romans chapter 12.
Because that's what we're doing is Romans 12.
That's right.
And by the way, he comes in and says, so we're doing Hebrews 12 today. He's just going to give me a heart attack.
Don't want to do that. No. You're in too good of a shape. You look good there. So, all right. Right. No problem. No, what happened was that I always put my keys in my pocket.
Of course.
You know, when I leave the car.
That's what I do. You don't want to lose your keys.
So all of a sudden I realized, boy, it's 3 minutes to 11. I've got to get in there. Yep. So I grabbed my Bible and I thought, well, you know, where are the keys? Got to lock the car up. Where are the keys? And I looked everywhere. I looked in the back, the front, under the seats, all over the place. Finally, I thought, well, I'm out of time. I'm just going to have to let it be unlocked and head on up. And I thought, well, let me just do something stupid here and check the ignition. And by golly, that's where the keys were. I think that's a first, and only that could happen to me. You know, nobody that's else right. in the whole world have something like that occur.
It makes me feel so good, Mark, because there's been any number of times I can't find my glasses, and they're in my shirt pocket.
Yeah,
you know,
no, this
that's
is the
just
kind of
right
thing.
Right there where it should be.
And so, at any rate, we're here. Sorry, I didn't mean to scare you but
thank you, Mark. But anyway, hey, we are glad you're here, and we have just a really super text to deal with.
Isn't it wonderful? It is wonderful.
Let me give out the phone numbers here if you want to engage in a conversation with Mark Hawkinson. That's an exciting thing to be able to do.
Well, I don't know about that, but I appreciate that. Jolly John here.
No.
Jolly John, who had
I couldn't, when I saw that I was going to be with Mark, I thought, well,
this is a treat for me. Yeah.
314-821-0850. Locally, if you want to dial the toll-free number, that's 1-800-730-2727. Of course, we know the kids out there, they don't use the phones anymore. They're all into the texting and to the internet.
Oh,
so you can also send
truth.
Us an email at kfuo@kfuo.org. And Mark, as you said, Romans 12, you want to lead us in prayer?
Certainly. Thank you. Gracious God, loving Heavenly Father, this is another day. We don't know about tomorrow, but we know that you have given us these hours to serve you as a living sacrifice, responding, reacting to the sacrifice that your Son Jesus Christ made on the cross by suffering and dying, and then by rising again. Yes, He is alive, and praise be to God. We're celebrating that, and may each listener tuned in today be blessed not only by the conversation, but by the Scripture, especially reassuring them of the presence of the Lord in their lives to give them the power to indulge in joy, God's joy, your joy, Heavenly Father, by presenting themselves, their heart, their mind, their body, their soul, as a living sacrifice. I pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.
And thank you, Mark, for drawing that connection right away to Jesus Christ and His sacrifice right from the get-go. Because, you know, we've been doing Romans, and Paul has laid out this beautiful stuff about righteousness by faith, not by works. We're all sinners, but we all have this forgiveness and grace and mercy. But now, all of a sudden, in chapter 12, he starts telling us about all the stuff we have to do. So where are you going to go with all of this now, Mark?
Well, that's beautiful. Chapters 1 through 11, as you go through in Romans, it's all about, as you say, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And now, what do we do with it? How does this righteousness act in your life and in mine? And
so you mean it's not just some kind of dead faith that we're going for here?
And it's not, wait a minute, dead? Are you kidding? It's not intellectual assent.
Okay.
You know, that's one thing. Somebody, even the devils believe and tremble.
Well,
the scripture says.
That's in the Bible.
Yeah,
it
that's
says
in
it.
The
yes,
Bible.
Yeah.
I had to say that. You know, it just to acknowledge. Somebody could acknowledge and say, yes, I believe that God exists, but that doesn't mean that doesn't grant them salvation. Just to know that as they look at the heavens and as they look at the imprint of God's hand wherever they go, they can say, I think there's a higher being.
Well, yeah, okay. Yeah, we could draw that conclusion.
But that, you know, saving faith.
But we're
faith.
Working something bigger than that. Is that what you're telling me?
That's what I'm telling you. It's much bigger. It's so big that words can't really fully express the height, the breadth, the depth, and the width, St. Paul tells the Romans, of God's love.
Yeah.
In Jesus Christ.
So that's the foundation for everything we're going to talk about in this text. It's assuming that we understand we have that forgiveness and grace. And now what flows from this? As a dead man brought to life, you bring him back to life, well, he's going to do stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, the neat thing is you can say to a brother or a sister in Christ, whether here at the International Center or wherever you might be, see you tomorrow, if you're indeed you are going to see them tomorrow, or you could say, see you in eternity. Because, hey, you know what? You're never not going to be around. I love double negatives. You'll never not be around, so you will always be here.
Oh, the English teachers are cringing right now.
Yeah.
But Mark said it.
Yes, I picked that up somewhere back in the... I won't say which seminary. I get in trouble there. So anyway, I picked it up back in school.
You know, it's interesting because if I could put a little plug in here. You should put a plug in because you're doing more than this. What are the other things you do here at KFU? You've got a show, don't you?
Well, I do. I have a show from 12 to 1 every day called Moments of Assurance, which all I'm trying to do there is to do just that, assure people, number one, that they are saved by grace through faith in Christ, not by anything that they do, and secondly, that the Lord is with them, He will not abandon them, and that when trials and difficulties and dilemmas and circumstances come that make it seem like God doesn't love them, nothing could be further from the truth. And we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And so that's one of the programs I do. Then I also do Jubilation on Sunday afternoons. And that's primarily music, but I make a few comments in there in between. And then I have a preaching program on Sunday morning, which also is called Moments of Assurance, 15 minutes.
There you go. And all about trying to give people comfort and assurance and through the Word of God, not through anything from us.
That's right. And I enjoy your program, too.
Thank you for mentioning that.
And because you have a way to spin things in a way that is practically applied to the believer's life and in humorously as well, which makes it easier to remember. As a person goes through life. So it's something to look forward to as people tune in then on Sunday mornings to wrestling with the basics. And, and it, just like in your promo, I love your promo, where it makes it sound like you're really wrestling, and they say, no.
What do you mean, sounds like? Of course, no, we really wrestling. That was actual. That's what made me think.
You were, huh? Yeah.
That's right. We don't pretend.
It was the real thing. Okay, all right.
What made me think of that is you were talking about the words of encouragement
I don't think I could repeat it.
Oh, yes, you can.
I could just say that the Lord is never not with you.
There you
Something
go.
Like that.
The eternity thing, too, because yesterday we were recording, we were doing the Philippians thing about to live is to Christ, to die is to gain. And that's why you can say that, because everything we have is in Christ. So when we die, we don't lose anything. We just get it back better, because we'll get it back in a way where there aren't any struggles or loss or anything.
I like that. Get it back better. I like that. That's good.
That probably made the English teachers cringe, too, because that's probably not right. Get it
well,
back better.
I make them cringe plenty of times, I'm sure.
You want me to start reading, or you got a verse you want to begin with, or how should we do this?
Well, why don't you just read the first two verses?
All right. I will go from there.
Okay.
Romans chapter 12 with Reverend Mark Hawkinson. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, that you referred to in your prayer, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect.
Yeah, you know, the sense here is the word urge. I appeal or urge you.
Right.
It's not like you're clobbering somebody over the head with the law. You know, you can't motivate with the law.
No.
The law shows you your sin. It shows you how you've come short. It's very, very important. The law is very, very important. But nobody's urged to Christian living or to react to the gospel, to react to what God has already done through His blessed and only Son, Jesus Christ, by trying to club and saying, look what you haven't done. Oh, look what you haven't done. Now get to it. You know, that doesn't urge anything. But if you say, look what Christ has done on the cross and through the empty tomb and by ascending and by coming back. I know He's not back yet, but, you know, never know.
He's coming.
I look at the end of the book of Revelation. He says, yes, I'm coming soon. Whenever soon is, we don't know for sure. And that's what keeps everybody in a state of readiness. So there's this urging that Paul appeals here.
I like that, Mark, because, you know, see, I read that passage, didn't even see that opening word, but you're right, that's so important. Not going to demand it, not going to force you to do it, can't do that, but I'm going to appeal to you, all right?
Right, by the mercies of God. That's how it happens.
Yeah, yeah.
It isn't going to happen by anything within yourself or by any value within yourself. Yeah. The value is all in Christ, and the power, the Holy Spirit, enters in here. And as you react to the message, to what God has done through His mercy, you will want to, you know, dedicate your mind, your body, your soul, your actions. Of course, I fall short. You do too. We all fall short of that. That's true. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't do it and shouldn't get up in the morning and say, God, give me more grace today, more strength, more desire to not appeal to myself and to not put one foot in the world. Some people think they can flirt, you know.
Oh, yes.
Flirt
yes,
with
don't
the
we
world.
All? Yes, and, play footsie. Sure.
You know, my first parish call. Now, where was your first call?
I'm
Mr.
where
Tomsky?
I've always been.
Okay.
St. Paul's
Darmstadt.
And New Athens and
New
Trinity
Athens.
And Darmstadt, yeah.
Yeah, I've preached there. Beautiful congregations.
You've been such a blessing to us.
Beautiful people there.
They
beautiful
are.
People.
It's a great part of the vineyard. It really is, Mark. And I'm glad God has given me that part of the vineyard to work all these years.
That part of Southern Illinois is also very, very beautiful as well. Beautiful people, beautiful state and everything.
And I appreciate what you're saying here, too, because you're right. Whatever Paul's going to give us to do here, it's not going to be done by the law. It's not going to be done because of our own heart, our own attitude, but by the mercies of God. But now I got a question for
sure,
you.
Please.
What is this living sacrifice stuff about?
Well, in the Old Testament, of course, you know, the Israelites were to bring even daily sacrifices once a year, the Day of Atonement. That was something else a little bit different. But they, you know, you can just picture them a lot. In a lot of cases, they were doing it out of obligation because this is what we do. We
Again,
bring
it's
sacrifices.
The ritual. Sure.
It's ritualistic.
That's why I go to church.
Yeah.
Because I get paid for it.
Oh, okay. The district president will be calling you later. No. Of course, you're best friends with him. Anyway. Okay. I understand where you're coming from. But what this mercies of God, this living sacrifice, that was your question. We are to present, it's a little tricky here how to say this, but just let's say the ones who really did bring in the Old Testament from their heart.
Yes.
They dedicated the sacrifices from their heart. We are to do the same thing. Only difference is we're not bringing a dead sacrifice. We're alive and we're offering our limbs, our hands, our feet, our mind, our soul, our will.
Yes.
Submitted to God's will, and our actions, what we say, the way we carry ourselves, everything dedicated to and for the glory of God, that's our spiritual worship, whether we're in church, as you say, or not. You don't want to come, now let's just use church as an example. You know, people come, and I can't say that I've never been guilty of this. You know, I'm not a parish pastor now, and retired from that, and so the result is I am privileged to be a member of a congregation in Washington, Missouri, and it's a beautiful congregation, Emmanuel Lutheran. They have a school there. It's a wonderful pastor. And but there are times I'm human when I sit in the pew, my mind wanders.
Yes.
And I think, gosh, what am I having for lunch? You know, you get hungry. Instead of focusing in on what either the pastor or the lector or the vicar or somebody else is saying. So no matter how good the service is, there is still and then, of course, the danger of ritualistically reading the Lord's Prayer, Our Father, who art in heaven.
You know, as the pastor, as you remember, we have that same problem too.
Yeah.
It's just we end up just doing the ritual and don't think about we're there to worship God too.
That's right. And it's so easy to when you're the worship leader.
Yes.
It can be easy to, you're trying to cross all the T's and dot all the I's. You want everything to go real well in the service so that you don't have Mrs. McGillicuddy. Where'd I get that?
Oh, you had a McGillicuddy too,
McGillicuddy.
Did you?
Okay. I also have a Greenstern. You see, Greenstern, that's my mother's maiden name.
Okay.
It's 100% German.
There you go. 100%.
Greenstern. And anyway, you don't have them coming to you after the service and saying, yeah, you really messed up that prayer or something. something like that. Oh, boy. Hey, you know, I got to tell you a quick story we were doing, Jerry Hahn and I were doing field work, we both of us attended Concordia Theological Seminary, Springfield, Illinois, and we had a field work congregation in Nokomis, Illinois, which is about 50 miles south of Springfield.
Yeah.
Nice little town. Well, and this is no crit. Jerry, if you happen to be listening, you know that this is all in good fun, okay? Anyway, Jerry was doing the liturgy, and I had the privilege of doing the sermon that week, and he wrote out this beautiful prayer. It was gorgeous. Yeah. I read it, and I thought, Jerry, you've outdone yourself. He put it on the altar. Well, during Sunday school, when we were both teaching a class, and during Sunday school, the altar guild came up and they got, what's this crumpled up paper here? What's this? And they take it, they threw it away. So during the service, Jerry's chanting a little bit, and he says, let us pray. Then he turns and faces the altar, and there's
nothing
there. And he turns around and he sings, says, let's not.
Oh, you're kidding. Oh, no.
And I said, Jerry, at least the Lord's Prayer.
That's right.
That's a true story. So
Just to say, Mike would like to join our conversation. Okay. In fact, he wants to say something about your moments of assurance. Mike, are you there? Thank you for waiting patiently.
Yeah. Hello?
Yes. Hi, Mike.
Hello, Mike.
Yeah. Hey, listen, Reverend Mark Hawkinson, you made a quote on your show, and it really set me straight. It told me about myself. It's one from Martin Luther, and here it is real quick.
Okay.
When you think about a lot of different things, you are really thinking about nothing, and you will never do anything right. And I was thinking, that's really true of myself when you said that.
Well, yeah, and in a way that fits in with our text for today, getting involved in all these other things instead of focusing in on being a living sacrifice. So that kind of fits in a bit. I appreciate that comment.
All right, bye.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
And they're pouring in now. We have Jan from Atlanta. Jan, are you there?
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking the call. I'm looking at Romans 12, verse 1, and I'm comparing it to Ephesians 5, verse 3.
Okay.
Ephesians 5, verse 3 in the NIV says, but among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality. And what I thought about this, Pastor Hawkinson, you said earlier we flirt with sin.
Yes. Yes.
You know, it's not how close we can get to it, but how far we can get from it.
Oh, that's beautiful, Jan. That's beautiful. I like that.
My question in relation to these two passages is, our repentance by the mercy or the grace of God? Mercy is where you don't get what you deserve, correct?
Correct, yes. Uh-huh.
So, maybe I answered my own question.
Well, I'm not sure that I catch the difference there. Mercy is God's undeserved favor for mankind, as demonstrated in Jesus Christ with his suffering and death on Calvary's cross. Grace, the acrostic, we teach our confirmation kids, God's riches at Christ's expense. You know, that's the acrostic for grace. And so they're very, very close. I'm not sure I can really, maybe you can distinguish there, Pastor Lukomsky. I'm not sure I can distinguish the difference.
Is that your question? Are you saying there's a difference between mercy and grace, and which is the...
Yeah, I heard this interesting quote I attributed to Max Lucado.
Okay.
The mercy of God gave the prodigal son a second chance. His grace threw him a party.
Well, I think grace, strength, and strength for God's grace is strength, not only undeserved favor, but your strength to be a living sacrifice as you live out your life, something like that.
So repentance isn't the only sacrifice that we give to God by his mercy.
Well, repentance is something God works. He works repentance in our heart by his, how about that? by His grace. So there you have it, Jan. There's your answer. Thank you. All right.
Yeah, all right. That is the right answer. It's got to be both of them, doesn't it? That's what evokes repentance. That's what evokes the life of sanctification that we're going to have here in the text. Jan, thank you again for your comment and question.
Thanks, Jan.
So we're talking about the living sacrifice. I just wanted to pick up. You said it's not just going to church. But it's everything, right? This is what we're doing day in and day out, the living sacrifice.
Seven days a week, okay. Whether you're in a worship service or whether you are giving of yourself. That's your, what does another version say here, your reasonable service.
Okay.
Reasonable service is 7 days a week, following your reaction to the gospel, your reaction to what God has done in Jesus Christ.
So it isn't just the religious life, which I think most people would think of it, but this is our entirety of our life, everything we're doing. And the other thing I'd like that you said earlier is in the Old Testament, they were dead sacrifices.
That's right.
But now this is a living thing we're actually having, God, our very bodies, our very lives for
it's
Him.
A living organism that your body is dedicated, and your master is the Lord Himself, not you. All right, St. Paul said, Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, here comes the living sacrifice. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. So there's that living sacrifice.
Oh, wow. Now you just got my brain thinking, which is not a good thing.
Oh, it is a good thing.
I might burn out before the show's over. So there is a sacrifice involved, isn't there? Because our sinful flesh is never going to want to do this stuff. Our sinful flesh is always going to be working against it.
No.
That part's going to have to die. That part's going to have to be sacrificed.
You know, first parish call I had was Bristol, Tennessee, Virginia. You can put one foot in Tennessee and one foot in Virginia simultaneously.
Oh, wow.
And the people there said, you got to make up your mind. Are you a Virginian or a Tennessean?
Okay.
How much time do we have there, Buzz?
3 minutes.
3 minutes. Okay, thank you. I didn't know if it was 3 minutes or 3 seconds. I knew if it was 3 seconds, I'd have to shut up there pretty fast. So, but at any rate, to finish this quick example here, finally, I licensed my car in Tennessee because the church building was in Tennessee.
There you go.
So
there
that's
you go.
I solved that problem pretty easily. But that's what some people try to do. They will try to put one foot in the world and become a part of the world. And believe me, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
It doesn't work because the struggle that you have with your flesh, between the flesh and the spirit, what you're doing is you're giving the devil your Achilles heel. You know, your point of weakness, whatever that might be, and saying, go ahead, devil, and have a heyday because, you know, I'm a Christian, I'm saved by grace, and hey, I'm in good shape, and I tell you what, I'd like to have a little fun while I'm at it, you know, so I'm dabbling. Remember the Brill Cream commercial on television?
Yep.
Brill Cream, a little dab will do you. And I'll tell you, a little dab in the world won't do you. I mean, it will do you in the standpoint of getting you away from God. That's the danger.
Anything else you want to say about the living sacrifice? I got a quick question. It says it's holy and acceptable to God. What does that mean?
Set apart.
Okay.
Set apart for God.
How is it holy and acceptable to God?
Well, because it's a response. It's a fruit of faith.
Okay.
From justifying faith. You're reacting there. It's not a work designed to earn brownie points God.
This so we haven't changed. Paul isn't changing the image here. It's always righteousness by faith.
That's right.
We're just talking about what that fruit of faith is. Buzz, you're the have we got time to get Linda on? Okay, Linda, could you hold on? We're going to be taking a break here in just a moment, and we'll get back to Linda from Farmington. Mark, do you want me to read another verse here before we take the break?
Oh, please, go ahead.
So verse 3. For by the grace, there it is. You weren't lying. It's what the Bible says. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace, again, there's the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. We'll be back in just a minute.
Hi, this is Vern Gunderman inviting you and your golf buddies to participate in Christian Friends of New Americans' second annual golf tournament. It's Wednesday, October 1st, at Quail Creek Golf Course. Funds raised help CFNA welcome refugees and new Americans in the name of Jesus Christ, as CFNA helps them establish a new life through Bible studies, tutoring, health screenings, citizenship, and ESL classes. It also provides scholarships so they can attend LCMS schools. Please join us. Information at cfna-stl.org.
Finding just the right partner is a blessing when it comes to achieving God's plans. Hi, I'm Rich Robertson, President and CEO of the Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Before taking this position, I worked with LCEF in my home congregation. It was a joy to find a true Lutheran partner that understood our unique needs as we built a school and welcomed new families into our church and community. I hope you experience that joy too. Visit lcef.org to find out how your ministry can become empowered in its kingdom work.
This is John Lukumsky with Reverend Mark Hawkinson on Thy Strong Word. Again, if you'd like to join the conversation, it's 314-821-0850 here in St. Louis. Or you can call anywhere in the world, Buzz?
North America.
Anywhere in North America at 1-800-730-2727. Or you can communicate with us anywhere in the world at kfuo@kfuo.org. And Linda, thank you for your patience. How are you doing, and what would you like to ask Mark about?
Well, I'm doing better than I deserve. Jesus took what I deserve. But you guys, you two pastors, it took me years, but I finally started understanding what you were teaching about grace, that nothing I could do or didn't do or anything I could sacrifice was not acceptable to God. Nothing in the flesh is acceptable to God, only the sacrifice Jesus made for me. And, you know, all the sacrifices in the Old Testament, they're still dead. They're still gone. They were burnt in a hill of Golgotha, where he died on top of all of these skeletons of these animals. But he is still alive. He's the only living sacrifice. And I think in Ephesians chapter 1, that whole chapter talking about us being chosen in Christ, where we are located, and especially Ephesians 1:6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved. And so I'm thinking, well, I stand there before God in each day, and I'm covered by his blood, his righteousness, his robe of mercy. And I think, yeah, this is how I present myself in this living sacrifice, Jesus Christ. And I'm always humbled by him. And, you know, it's not a sacrifice to live in him. It's just a privilege and a freedom to live in Jesus Christ. And I'm not, you know, it's just, I don't drown myself. He drowns me every day, and I'm not dependent on me. Huh? What?
That's very true.
And the first chapter of Ephesians, in whom we have forgiveness by his blood, you know. But I want to thank both of you, because it took you years to help me understand what I'm saying back to you this morning. And I thank God for pastors like you too. You're still a pastor, Pastor Hawkinson, even if you're retired. You're my pastor.
Hey, cool. Well, thank you. I appreciate
that. I love you both. God bless you.
Yeah, thank you, Linda. Thank you, Mark.
You know, if it weren't for that robe of righteousness that God has placed upon us, we'd be lost.
Yep.
There would be no hope. You talk about hope for the future. What hope? You drive past cemeteries all the time, and you and I will be there someday, but we won't be there. See, that's the paradox.
Yes.
You and I will be. I desire to depart.
The dead part of us.
The dead part of us
will be there. But the spiritual, the living part, that'll be someplace else.
That's right. But what do people have to hang on to or cling to today that do not know the Lord, that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ? They think that, you know, was it Frank Sinatra that sang, if that's all there is, then let's keep on dancing? And I won't say the rest of that verse. But at any rate, in other words, all there is what you see.
Yeah.
But it's what you can't see that ultimately counts. And it's that robe of righteousness that God has placed on you through his mercy and through his grace that enables you to be this living sacrifice, this person that is dedicated to God, although not perfectly from day to day.
No. And Linda, I just want to personally say thank you for, again, bringing Christ into the picture. He is the only true living sacrifice. We are living sacrifices only as we are connected to him, the vines to the branches. James, how are you doing?
I'm doing well.
And James wants us to press on to verses we haven't read, but go ahead, James. What's your question? What's your comment?
Well, first I'd like to say I, too, like Linda, am so excited. And I guess I could say it that way with my English teacher listening.
Well, that's more than I can do, James. My English teacher got tired of my grammar and quit listening.
But I am so excited to ask this question of such winsome and grace-oriented teachers and expositors of the living truth as you two are. And I always receive good food from you both. I rediscovered the Lutheran Hour when you did it a little ways back, Pastor Hawkinson.
Yeah, that was a joy, for sure.
Yes, yes, and I'm always wrestling with the basics.
Thank you, James. The check will be in the mail.
That segue, did you catch that segue there? Man alive. Well, James, you have been so faithful in your calling in here on Thy Strong Word, and before that, the Bible study.
Yeah.
And so he's really been a faithful caller.
That's what I think. We've talked to James for years and years and years.
Yeah, James, and you mentioned Linda, Linda also very, very faithful.
So what's your question now, James? I see on my comment here it's on verse 9 and 10. Is that right?
Yeah. I'd like to know.
Just a second, James. Let me read those verses, and then you raise your point. Verse 9 says, "Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor." Okay, go away. Take it away, James.
Okay. This transformation into humility, I guess, this transformation into the humility of a surrendered life frames our Christian duties in such a way that we're to minister and teach and exhort with liberality and show God's mercy with cheerfulness so that we do not think more highly of ourselves than we should. So my question to you both is, how important and essential is the sincere admonishment to be kindly and affectionate to one another, and that our love be without hypocrisy? And I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you, James. All right, Mark.
Appreciate that. Well, they had actors that acted on a stage, and you know, back in biblical times, and sometimes they would wear a mask. These actors would wear a mask, and in effect, they were being somebody they really weren't. They were pretending to be somebody else. And it says, "Let love be genuine. Be who you really are in Jesus Christ. Not a perfect person, but an individual who has been impacted and affected by the mercies of God, and it shows." So a genuine love and a genuine concern can only come from Christ, from Jesus Christ himself. That is, you don't want it to be hypocritical. You don't want to do acts of, you mentioned kindness. You wouldn't want to open the door for another person if it weren't flowing from love. You know, there's a love that we have, you and I have, Pastor Lukomsky, just for people in general out there that we meet and greet in society, that we can show love and concern. Hospitality was mentioned, demonstrate hospitality to them, because it just might be the stepping stone, so to speak, for an opportunity to speak to them about the gospel. You never know. You have an opportunity.
They may ask about the hope that is within you.
That's right. Yeah. And so, your comments there.
Well, now, see, here's the problem, Mark. Obviously, we should be loving with genuine love. But what about when the person calls me at 2:00 in the morning and I look over and say, oh, it's that so-and-so again. Help me with that. What am I supposed to do with that?
You can just say, I don't take calls overnight.
No. That's exactly what my flesh wants to do. Just pretend, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear the phone ring.
You say a quick prayer and you ask for the Lord's help and grace. And another thing you do, and when I get in that situation, I don't always do this because I'm human and I'm a sinner. Yeah. Don't always do it. But I pause. I wait a minute. Let me think. And if somebody calls me on the phone and they have maybe some criticism and this and that, rather than launch back at them, well, you just misunderstood or this. It's easy to do that. You just say, hey, wait a minute. Let me think about, sir or ma'am, let me think about that for a moment. Or somebody calls you at 2:00 in the morning, just start saying, hey, you know, I was sleeping. But having said that, I can't think of a person I'd rather talk to at 2:00 in the morning than you. So, something like that, where you temper it a little bit with love. And what I'm saying is, buy some time. You know, you get a situation like that, you know, help me, God, let me think about this thing and not react from my flesh. Don't let me react from my flesh. Let the spirit be in control.
And I really appreciate that, because now we have the definition of what genuine love is. It isn't what's going to flow from us initially, because our flesh is always going to be looking for ourselves, getting angry, upset at people. But you're right, that pause, that prayer, that reminder that the genuine love is something that God's working in us. And it's remarkable, isn't it, Mark? Because it is there. It is there. Even though we may not feel it initially, when the Lord kind of comes and does the thing, then we find, and it's ironic because people may not believe this, but you do really think, I am glad you called, and I'm glad to talk to you. Although maybe not initially.
Not initially.
No.
Once you get into the conversation and you say, my wife just had a heart attack or whatever, then all of a sudden, everything changes. I'll be right there, or whatever the case may be.
It's funny.
Be down at the hospital or you know.
But I do want people to know that even pastors, our initial responses aren't always to have genuine love. But that genuine love is still there, and it will come out in the end.
We're human. Yes, we're human beings, just like everybody else is, and so we struggle as well with those challenges that come our way from day to day.
And you know what I found, Mark? If I try to fight that off, it just ends up being the hypocrisy that James talked about. But when I just say to myself, man, I am a sinner. For a second there, I didn't think so, but it's true. And then it's funny how out of the mercies and the grace we've been talking about, this genuine love does flow. You know, we skipped over verses 3-7 about the gifts of faith and the body. Do you want to say anything about that? Sure, you want to say something about that. Go ahead.
Sure. There are some things. Well, this relation to the body, everybody's in the body here. Yeah. And you know, the verse that says, can the hand say to the foot, I have no need of you, and all of that, because each one has received a gift for the body so that the body functions properly. And you'll notice these are functions of the body. These are not offices in the church. Functions.
Okay.
There is a difference.
It's the thing the parts of the body do. Is that what you're saying?
Right. Parts of the body. Now, if prophecy, I think of prophets that had direct revelation. There were some of those in the Old Testament. Yeah. And I think in the book of Acts, I think Agabus was one of the prophets that had that kind of revelation. St. Paul had that kind of revelation. But I really think that this is referring to preachers here. Prophecy, preachers. So I guess from that standpoint, that might be an office there. But just one who preaches in proportion to faith. And it talks about, everybody in the body of Christ has some kind of a gift. You can look in your congregation, you can think there are people that are especially good at service.
Yes.
That's what they're...
When you got a potluck, you call them, they're the ones that are going to get organized.
Yeah, that's their gift. That's what they do best. The one who teaching is vital. You have teachers in your Sunday school and Bible classes. The one who exhorts, that means encourage. The one who encourages, that you have people in your congregation, you're very good at that, encouraging people, you know, and uplifting them.
These are the people that are hear that you're sick, and they're going to come by and bring you a big bowl of soup because they figure you're not going to be able to fix supper for yourself.
That's
what
right.
an encouragement. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And there are lots of different ways you can show, as you mentioned, show that encouragement. And the one who contributes. And we're talking about money here. Collect, contribute money. That's kind of something we don't want to say too much about. But St. Paul, I think if I looked at the background of the text here, he was on his way to Jerusalem for the collection.
Oh, that's right.
And
money was on his mind.
Money was on his mind. And there's nothing wrong with talking about money and with, of course, giving money as well. That's all part of the body working together to function for the ministry of Jesus Christ.
And I like the clarification there with generosity. So we're not looking for the grudging gifts, which unfortunately is what I often give, but we're looking for people, hey, I want to do this. This
the
is
Lord,
a good thing. Yeah.
The Lord loves a cheerful giver, not a fearful giver, or a tearful, not a tearful giver. I got to give this 10 bucks to the church. I got to write my check to the church. It should be one of the greatest joys you do.
You've gone from preaching to meddling there, Mark. Watch yourself, buddy.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, I like to meddle.
Want to take another caller, Mark?
Sure.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. We need to turn this to Mark and see what's going on, too.
Yeah, I can't.
Cheryl from Indianapolis wants to talk about the gifts of grace. Cheryl, you there?
Hi, yes. Thanks for taking my call. I'll try to talk fast.
No, you got time.
No, that's fine. You're fine, Cheryl.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
On Faith and Family today, Pastor Golden, Andy Bates, was interviewing him and talking about the vocation of parent. And so this whole section reminded me about that. And he was talking about having a family altar where you set aside time
every day.
Yeah. And then Sunday you can talk about what you heard in the sermon about sin and your Savior. And Monday the Old Testament reading, Tuesday the epistle reading, Wednesday the gospel reading, Thursday the psalm, Friday the catechism, and Saturday, the hymn of the day. And I was looking back at the catechism, Concord Matters. They've been using the Book of Concord and reading the large catechism, and I realized I'm 65 years old, and I'm just now reading the large catechism. I should have been doing this with my family. I'm kind of ashamed. I even taught seventh graders the catechism.
Oh, that's great. That's fabulous.
I mean, when I was young, and now it's like, oh,
excuse
wow.
me? Excuse me? Did you
when
say
I was young? I taught
young?
Seventh graders. When I was in my late 20s, I taught the catechism to seventh graders. And now I'm 65, and I'm just now reading the large catechism, and I'm thinking, oh, wow. The gifts of grace, I mean, you do it with the amount of grace that you are given.
Oh, yeah, and that amount of grace, think of how wise you are now at the ripe old age. Oh, I mean, at the chronological age of 60, I'm in trouble. Okay,
yes.
I'm in trouble.
Okay.
We sure appreciate your comments, Cheryl.
Program.
And Cheryl, you know, the thing is, it is that's how the gift works. It's funny, as we grow older, the Lord just keeps giving us more and more and more about His grace and His mercy. You think after having taught it to seventh graders in your 20s, I've got everything I need to know. But it isn't that way, is it? It's just there's always some new stuff to discover, new things of comfort and encouragement. And so thank you, Cheryl. All right. We talked about prophecy, teaching, exhortation, giving. You want to say anything about leading mercy?
You think of the one who leads. Now, that could be, you know, an elder in the church, or it could be just somebody, chairman of a committee or chairperson of a committee. Or if you have the gift of leadership,
yes,
you know, use it for the body, because the body will function better if you use that gift. If you don't use it, you're depriving the body of the use of the gift that the Lord
has. Because it's for everybody.
Has,
yes.
yeah, given
the
you.
Good
yeah.
point.
It's
yeah,
not
yeah.
for you. I mean, you're not here for you. You're here for the
body. To
benefit
the body.
To benefit, right, right. And finally, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness, and I looked up that word, it's like hilarity, to do.
Oh, really?
To do acts of mercy with hilarity, with such a joy, you know, and don't miss an opportunity because every...
I think I found your part in the body. That's the Mark Hawkinson
thing. That would be you, too. So, oh, yeah. So, at any rate, everyone functions well in the body when it says here they have gifts that differ. Well, if you don't use the differing gifts, how is the body going to function so well?
And you know, I like that. I like that because sometimes I think maybe we give the impression that there are certain things that all Christians are supposed to be like. And, of course, we are supposed to be, you know, we got the fruit of the Spirit and that stuff. But I like the fact that we don't all have to be the same. We've all got different gifts. We all function in different ways.
Oh, that'd be boring if we're all the same.
Oh, it would be. It would be. You know, honestly, you and I, we have similar personality traits and everything. But it would be boring if every preacher were like a Mark and a John.
That would be.
That would not be tolerable. I don't think.
Oh, my goodness.
So we will think not more of ourselves. We'll think
That's
with sober
right.
judgment, won't we? All right, Mark. Anything else, or should we move on to
let's
conclude
move on.
This?
Let's
conclude
move on.
This
sure.
chapter. We
right.
are blessed with a short chapter here, Mark. Otherwise, I don't think we would have got done.
Yes.
All right. So we just got through saying, outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Do you want me to go on and read the rest of it, or do you want to stop there?
Let's hold off with
okay.
that. If you look in the Lutheran Study Bible,
front of me.
The note that they have on fervent in spirit, and again, this comes from the Lutheran Study Bible. I thought it was very well. Where is that? It says boiling over with the spirit.
Isn't
I thought,
that a neat phrase? Yeah.
Here's the thing. It's impossible to not love your neighbor when you've been in the Lord's Word. If you've just come out of the Lord's Word, you can't go out and hate your neighbor. It just isn't going to happen. Because the Lord has impacted you. Now, you close your scripture, you don't go to, you know, worship and communion and all of that, then that's going to have an effect on you, you know. So, we realize there are some people that are not able to do that. Let me cover myself there. That's where the pastors come in and they give private communion.
That's our job, to come and, if they can't come, we come want to come and bring the word to them.
That's right.
And you're right. Yeah, that's the thing. It comes, it condemns us. We see the sinfulness that you've been talking about. And then this beautiful thing, as our callers have mentioned, God still loves us. We're forgiven. How could that not overflow with the boiling over? Is that what it said? Yeah, boiling over with the Spirit, the zeal and all of that stuff. Anything else about that?
Well, that fervency in spirit, it's an enthusiasm that is couched correctly by God's Word. It isn't what they call, I think, in German, Schwärmerei.
Whatever you say.
Kind of going all over. Yeah, whatever you say in enthusiasm. It's not Schwärmerei. This is couched in the scriptures and from the scriptures, so it has borderlines on it. The zeal that come from God's word. It isn't coming from you. It coming out of you, but it's originating in God by the power of the Holy Spirit working through the Word.
I like that thought, Mark, because I can make it come out of me. I can get myself all worked up and excited. I can do that. But you're suggesting that's not exactly the boiling over the Spirit that we're talking about here.
No, that's right. Now, if you go to a cards game and they're winning.
Yeah. Oh, I get excited there.
That's
6 minutes is what he's saying.
6 minutes, yeah.
Mark's trying to read the hand signs, but he can't see. Yeah. He's blocked by the screen.
I don't do much live radio. That's the problem. I should do more live radio.
I better read the rest of the verses here then, and we'll take whatever we got to take. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. All right, Mark, what do you got to say
about
that?
Let's start out backwards and go with the burning coals.
I was going to say, what's that all about?
Well, they might come to repentance, that they realize, or contrition, that they might, first of all, contrition, which may lead to repentance.
Okay.
If not, then they will be subject to the vengeance of God. Step aside here, this text is saying, and let the Lord handle the vengeance part. This is not your job. If these people...
Oh, but I want it to be my job.
I know. That's what comes naturally. You want to be tit for tat. You want to... somebody does something to you, you want to hurt them back. And I don't like that. When I sense that in myself, and I squelch that because I don't want to hurt back. I don't want to hurt anybody at any time for any reason, even though I'm sure I have without knowing it. But this is the natural human inclination to persecute those who persecute you.
Well, everything he's saying here, I'm saying, this is exactly the opposite of what I wanted.
That's right. Everything's the opposite. And where are you going to get the power or the desire to do what the Apostle Paul is talking to the Romans about here? You're not going to get it from within. You're going to get it from him. You're going to get it from Christ. That's the only location that you're going to be able to do this. And that is so hard to do. Somebody that has really hurt you badly, somebody that has put you down, especially if they've criticized greatly what you do for a living, or you as a husband or a wife or whatever, your parenting, whatever the case might be, the natural thing is to launch back or lurch back to them, the same kind of thing. But what tempers things and allows the conversation to continue is blessing them and saying, well, I'm sorry you feel that way. I'm sorry that you feel that way. I personally don't see it that way. Is there some way we can find some common ground here and go from there?
And, I think it's neat, Mark, that we can actually say to the people, inside of me, I am still mad at you, but I really don't want to act on that. I want to do what is helpful and good for you. So let's work on that. And that might even make the coals burn all the hotter when they realize that their natural response, your natural response is the same as theirs, but you don't want that to predominate.
Yeah. And that last phrase, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Well, that's when good's on top and the evil's down here. People notice that and they wonder how. They're going to say to themselves, look what I've done to this person. Yeah. And instead of launching back at me the same thing, they're being kind to me. What's wrong with them? Somebody must be in control of their... God must have done something. And and so maybe they come to you and say, hey, where do I get that? How can I have that same sense that you do?
And that's the only thing that's going to change it, isn't it, Mark? That's the only thing that changes. And again, I'm thinking about this, overcome evil with good. There is no one good except for
God alone.
And Jesus Christ.
That's right. Yeah.
Ahead. Mark, mm-hmm. We've only got... How much time we got here? Are you paying attention? Two minutes. All right. So we've had this very powerful listing of things, and I know you began by saying that the law won't help us, but I don't know that you can't avoid reading Romans 12 and feeling a little bit of the bite of the law, because it's certainly
the
way we do by our natural relation, our flesh. So help us out here, Mark. Summarize all of this in Romans chapter 12. How can we take this and make it of use for our lives today?
The marks of the Christian person. And that's what this is all about, the way that we react and act to our neighbor and feel toward God himself. That's what this is all about. Where do we get the power to be the living sacrifice? We look to the one who was the sacrifice for us, first off, and that's Jesus Christ. And through what he has done, he didn't just die as a dead sacrifice. I mean, he rose from the dead and he said, because I live, you will live also. So we get that living sacrifice power from the one who's living also right now.
Mark, I think that says it all. I certainly appreciate the time we've had together.
Oh, I do too. I loved it. Love being with you, Pastor
Lukowski. Wish the Lord's blessings on all of our listeners too.
Absolutely. Thank you.